Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades. Auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. And they've always been able to find their customers the best price. And when it comes to service, that's the name of the game at Purdy Insurance. They'll update your insurance. If you have a claim, they jump in as if it happened to them. They'll answer your insurance questions because you have concerns. They'll take care of it all. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Charlie Culberson does it again for the Braves.
0-1 pitch. High fly, deep to left field. Way back. And gone. Culberson has done it again. Culberson with a walk-off home run, a two-run shot to left. And the Braves are bouncing and celebrating a series win over the defending National League East champs.
Culberson's last three home runs have all been walk-off home runs. How about that? He hasn't had another kind of home run in between. His last three home runs have all been walk-off home runs. It's amazing. Charlie Culberson, player for the Dramatic. I believe they got him from the Dodgers, right?
That's right, because the first of those three wrapped up the season, the regular season, back in 2016. That was Vin Scully's last game at Dodger Stadium.
Last game.
Yeah,
yep.
Charlie had the walk-off that day.
Yep. Last three home runs, all walk-offs. All right. We outlined, the big headlines are the Warriors are just that good. There's a lot of focus on why is Cleveland struggling. The reason Cleveland's struggling is the Warriors are that good. I'll give you an example why, one of the small examples why the Warriors are that good. Okay. It's obvious what a Curry, a Durant, what a Klay Thompson can do. We see Draymond Green. But then they go to the bench and they bring off the bench a consummate pros pro in Sean Livingston. Now, Sean Livingston is not going to get talked a lot about. But every time he gets in the game, he'll hit that mid-range jumper. He'll make a drive to the bucket. He'll get a rebound, usually makes the right pass. Sean Livingston does not do a single thing he is not capable of. Doesn't try to get out of his lane. Yeah, I think I'll fire up three threes here. No. He'll get himself to about 15 to 18 feet, knock the shot down, because that's what he's capable of. You win with guys like that. You know, he's not a guy that's not the star. You know, they have plenty of stars. But a guy who knows his role, knows who he is comfortable with who he is, and just goes out and plays basketball and makes plays and makes people around him better. And look, Cleveland doesn't have that guy. Also, the other part, too, is the Kyrie Irving factor. This is the best that Steph Curry has played in the finals so far. Of the four finals, this is the best he's played. Have you noticed how relaxed Curry looks out there, Sean? Right. Why does he look so relaxed? Because for the first time, right, the three series previous, he doesn't have Kyrie Irving guarding him, or conversely, doesn't have to expend tremendous amounts of energy guarding Kyrie Irving. Remember, he has had to work hard to defend Irving the last couple of years. I mean, really worked hard.
And you knew sooner or later his shot was finally going to come back. I mean, those various quarters and earlier on in the playoffs where he went like 1 of 8, 1 of 9. I mean, you sooner.
Right.
I mean, shooters shoot, and eventually it would come around, and the numbers would balance out.
Right, and it would, but he doesn't have to expend the energy guarding Kyrie Irving, which is helping his legs. Conversely, he doesn't have a guy like Curry dogging him, which again helps him. And let's go back to the first meeting between the two teams in the finals, okay, 4 years ago. Remember Irving in game one, how good he was, and then he got hurt. And when he got hurt, the series changed. Series changed. LeBron's the best player, but having another guy with him like Irving made all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. And I think it's really benefited Curry in this particular series that now finally he gets to go out and doesn't have, and believe me, the defending of Irving is just as important as Irving defending Curry. Remember, when you're defending somebody, you have to, especially at the guard spot where you've got a lot of floor you have to take care of, you have to expend a lot of energy doing that, which of course affects your legs, which then eventually down the road affects your jump shot because you need your legs for your jump shot. So that's one. Capitals and Vegas, heck of a series. I'm enjoying it. The Capitals are playing. I mean, both these teams are playing so hard. And the next game is tonight. But they're both playing so hard in this series. And that's it's been great to watch. Two teams just trying to outwork each other. I think Washington still has more overall talent. That's a big reason why. I mean, you got Oshie, you got Ovechkin, you got Backstrom, you got Carlson. I mean, they've got probably they have better overall talent, but also Holtby's really been good in net. Holtby has played the way I think they had always hoped he would play. And outstanding. The Pirates are showing all the signs of what a bad team does. The other night, in the ninth inning, they were down 5-3, and they scored 4 runs, took the lead 7-5. You're like, impressive. And the Cardinals won the game 9-7. On days where the Pirates pitch really well, they don't score. On days where they score, they don't pitch well. That's the sign that you do not have a good team. You just can't. They just don't seem to have the ability to put it all together. That's a problem. For the Phillies, the bottom line is this. For whatever reason, they can't hit. In their last 16 games, the Phillies have hit .205. Just as important, though, is the fact that the Phillies are not getting on base. Now, we talk about analytics. And when you look at analytics, on-base percentage, and I've always been a big, big, big believer in on-base percentage. Now, I realize you get your contracts and your raises through your batting average. But you win games with on-base percentage, which includes batting average. But they just cannot seem to get going in the last 2.5 weeks offensively. And I don't know. There's not a lot of patience at the plate. And I mean, they're not getting a lot of deep counts. I mean, what happened in San Francisco? What, they got one run and Arrieta hit a homer, right?
One run in 29 innings. And then you had Jake Arrieta speaking out afterwards, we need to have an accountability check. This is a key moment in our season. Pretty good April, pretty good May, June not starting out so well. But I just wonder, I just wonder what side you take. Was it right for him to do that as the leader of the team, to call everybody out? But in the process, he was throwing a few under the bus.
What? I don't feel like you're throwing people under the bus. Well, you got 2.5 weeks and nobody's hitting. I mean, let's lock in and hit here. Let's drive some pitch counts up. I don't know. I think he's completely... I'm completely with him on this. I'd say something. I mean, I'd say something. I mean, the 16-game trend is just bad. You're talking about as a team. I mean, this is a team. Okay, if as a player, if you're hitting .233, Sean, what kind of year are you having?
Not all that good.
Okay, if you're hitting .233 as a player, what kind of year are you having?
Subpar.
Well, that's their team batting average.
Yeah.
That puts too much pressure on your pitchers. Way too much pressure on your pitchers. On base percentage, .314. Oh, brutal. Hey, brutal. Hey, you can't win with that. And, of course, it's down to .314 because of what's happened in the last 2.5 weeks. I mean, I can understand slumps. I mean, Herrera's hitting .305. You know who the next best hitter is? Cesar Hernandez at .264. Now, not having Hoskins hasn't helped. Now, Hoskins, we'd already gone through what he'd done at the plate. And so it's not... how Hoskins started out and what's happened to him lately. All right. And that, but he's on the disabled list. You know, Kingery got off to a good start. Now he's down to .216. Crawford's not hitting, but guess what? What did I say in the show for the last year and a half? I didn't think he was ever going to hit in the major leagues. I mean, Santana's been okay in terms of the 9 home runs, okay in terms of the 33 runs batted in, but he's hitting only .218. And he's known for a guy that has a really good on-base percentage. And his on-base percentage is only .337. It's a tough run right now.
Jake Arrieta wasn't all that bad yesterday. He actually only threw 55 pitches through 5 innings before, giving up the 5 runs in the 6th and the 3-run homer against McCutchen. But yeah, you got to have those innings where you're at least able to, answer back.
How about score?
That too.
I mean, I mean, that's the big part right there. You got to be able to score. Get it out there. I mean, it does everything for you in terms of just not only the ability to respond, but it also makes you feel like, I mean, it does a lot for the confidence part of it. I mean, the confidence part is the crusher. I mean, so here you are. Let's see.
That's the thing. When the Phillies are on, when they're at the plate, they're having trouble against the shift.
Yeah.
Right now, Sports Info Solutions right now ranks the Phillies last in shift runs saved. And the only other team in baseball that has a negative rating are the Dodgers. Phillies are a minus 11.
Right. Well, right now the Phillies are tied for 21st in runs. They're 25th in batting average. They are 21st in on-base percentage. Remember, this is Gabe Kapler now. Gabe Kapler is a deep believer in analytics. 21st in on-base percentage. That's a biggie. Slugging percentage, they're 25th. 25th. Look, and Arrieta was blunt about it yesterday. He called it a horse manure series. Really, really bad. Well, guess what? He's really, really right. They scored one run the entire series. He homered. He says, we've had bad defensive shifts. We've had a check swing. Kingery should have gone to second on that play. He said they got three hits in a row, a home run. He says, credit McCutchen for putting a good swing on it, but did not expect a ball like that to get out. He was asked about defensive deficiencies. We're the worst in the league with shifts, so we need to change that. Well, guess who that comes down to? Who's that come down to?
Let's see. Number 22. Yeah.
Yes. Hey, this is his area of expertise. So we need to have an accountability check. There's a key moment in our season. We had a pretty good April, a pretty good May. June isn't starting out so well. Despite calling out his coaching staff's defensive decisions and a mistake from Kingery, a rookie, Arrieta says he hopes the team can do something off on the off day to get back with the right mindset. The road trip, by the way, continues with the Cubs. Now, let's remember that Arrieta is making these statements right now where the Phillies are 31-26. Right? They're 31-26. Which means they're still five games over 500. So despite this slump that they're in, they are not even remotely out of the neighborhood. Not even close. They're only three games back of the Braves. They're four games up, by the way, of the Mets. And they're only a game and a half back of the Nationals. All right, so they're okay. They can, if they can get to back to a sense of normalcy,
they're still in there. They're still in the mix.
Yeah, well, they're right. They're completely in the thick of it. I mean, the Braves aren't running away from anybody. I mean, the fortunate part is they're not in the same division with the Astros or the Mariners, and they're not in the same division with the Red Sox or the Yankees. I mean, they're in those divisions. They're cooked and fried.
There have been some times where there's been a few lapses here and there when they're on defense, and that has been the big knock on Odubel Herrera. I think he's kind of righted that ship. He made a couple of very good plays on defense last week in the Dodgers series. But there was an early part in the game yesterday where Santana, he didn't run to first base on a fly ball down the left field line. And if you would have had a giant in scoring position, they could have opened up the scoring early. It's just little stuff like that that they gotta, you know, that they gotta get squared away.
Well, if they're in the West, the Phillies are in first place. Okay? So if they're in the West, they have a better record than Arizona does. If they're in the Central, they're in fourth place. In the East, right now, they're in third, a game and a half back of Washington in second. Now, if they're in the American League, they're in fourth place in the West. They're in first place in the Central. And they are a distant third in the East. But it's right now, it's two main areas. It is lack of offense, which really, really puts a lot of pressure on your defense and your pitching. And the other part is their defense hasn't been great because, again, as he's talked about, they're not positioned right. That comes from the dugout. How you are positioned, and again, that's, you know, we've talked about analytics. Big, big deal. Analytics. Hey, by the way, one quick note for you. Penn State basketball, December 15th, Atlantic City. For some odd reason, I've had so many people come up to me in the last month and say, well, here we're playing LaSalle in Atlantic City. And I kept looking at them going, what? You're here? What? So they're going to play in Atlantic City. I said, they're not playing LaSalle. Oh, no, no, they're playing LaSalle. Well, the bottom line is, of course, as you know, Sean, I already knew who they were playing. But I was kept getting confused why everybody kept saying they were playing LaSalle. They're going to play North Carolina State. Going to play NC State in Atlantic City on December 15th. Now, there's an RPI game for you on a neutral court. It's part of that quadruple header there. It's called the Boardwalk Classic. It's going to be, where they have the Miss America pageant.
Oh, Boardwalk Hall. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's where the A-10 had their tournament before going to the Barclays Center, right?
Yes, they did.
There you go.
I've done a game in there. Pete Lisicki had 35. They beat Penn. Yes, I remember. Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll take a break. And we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Here's Adam Purdy with another example of how Purdy Insurance is different.
I was at home one Saturday when I got a call from a client who had just been in an auto accident with a rental car in Canada. After confirming that everyone was okay, I checked his policy and assured him that we had the proper coverages in place. Within a few minutes, I had his claim called in and he was back to enjoying his vacation.
Purdy Insurance has been answering calls like this for over 90 years.
Give Purdy Insurance a call today at 800-677-2478 to see what we can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding the right insurance, exactly what you need, whether it's auto, home, life, business. They'll review it, make recommendations. They'll do everything they can to find you the best price. And if you need them for questions or a claim, they will be right there for you exactly when you need them. That is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Hour ago, we had Tony Barnhart on from SEC Network and TMGCollegeSports.com, one of the best in the business, I mean, legendary. Tomorrow, Reed Forgrave, the NBA writer for CBSSports.com, is going to join us to talk about the NBA Finals. This broadcast note. the Yankees are threatening to boycott ESPN personnel for the rest of the year over a game on July 8th for Sunday Night Baseball. And here's the issue. The issue has to do with a makeup doubleheader. And the game in Toronto on July 8th is supposed to be at 1 o'clock. The Yankees are playing a makeup doubleheader in Baltimore the next day. First game scheduled for 4 p.m., but now they push that back to 5. So here's the problem the Yankees are having. They said they're going to have to play 3 games in 2 cities in 24 hours. And they would like to see Major League Baseball select ESPN select a different game for Sunday Night Baseball. As a source said, quote, it's not the Yankees Red Sox. Officials from Major League Baseball, the Major League Players Association, the Yankees, and ESPN are in talks potentially to compromise on a Sunday night game. Now, the Yankees cannot prevent this. I mean, they can't really prevent this. So the players and the management said that they would boycott and be uncooperative with ESPN for any broadcasts and extra features for the rest of the season. So features that you usually see on SportsCenter, the Yankees wouldn't participate. Sunday Night Baseball always gets a special added session with the manager. Aaron Boone won't do it. And they always ask for TV interviews with the players prior to the game and special access. They say they won't do it. And then Boone says he won't do the in-game interview. The Yankees are playing a doubleheader in Detroit today. The Yankees won the first game, by the way, 7-4. And Boone says he is still hopeful for a change, but he says he's going to leave the leveraging to others. He said hopefully it works itself out. And Boone said he and his players would show backbone and uphold the boycott. Now, here's one of the problems. Of course, Boone worked with ESPN for years. Alex Rodriguez, who's on Sunday Night Baseball, happens to be a special advisor to Hal Steinbrenner. But again, under the current CBA, ESPN can select the game. Yankees players, also in accordance with the CBA, did vote to reschedule a doubleheader in Baltimore. But again, they voted on it when the game with Toronto was scheduled to be 1 o'clock on Sunday, not at 8 o'clock. Oh, and if you're wondering why they're pushing so hard for this, ESPN, they have the All-Star Selection Show before the July 8th broadcast. So they feel that this will be a ratings grab for the All-Star Show by having the Yankees on that night. You know me, I watch games like everybody else. I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. You know, you got to get control over your TV. You have to. You have to have control over your TV packages. It's one area, for example, when it came to the Big Ten Network, or not the Big Ten Network, the Big Ten with its current contract deal, that was a problem. Is I was hoping they would get rid of the 6-day windows. Now, why do I want them to get rid of the 6-day windows? Well, the reason I want them to get rid of the 6-day windows is because of you. I mean, why should you have to try and finally find out on a Sunday at some point what time the kickoff is for Saturday? That's not fair. That's not right. That doesn't allow you to plan out well. So my defense has always been of you, the fan. Always has been. It doesn't matter to me. I'm a professional. They tell me what time I have to show up for work. I show up for work. I'm there to work. But I see the rest of this stuff, you know, where they're playing around with start times, and the biggest one is obviously football, college football. I mean, no question. I mean, that's a that 6-day window thing, that's absurd. That's absurd. And they do it three times a year. Oh, we won't find out. Like, okay, great. Well, you can't treat scheduling like it's the Manhattan Project. But what's happened with sports, major sports, obviously, I'm talking about football, basketball, hockey, baseball, college football, men's college basketball. They're TV shows. The TV shows. And that's how they're treating it. They act as if there's a big board of TV scheduling out there, and that's what they do. It used to be that there'd be one of those games a year, maybe two, during the course of a college football season, and it was a big deal when TV showed up. Huge deal. Now it's wag the dog. They tell you that it's going to be at 3:30, you're at 3:30. They tell you it's going to be at 7:30, it's at 7:30. They tell you, hey, look, guess what? 6-day window. But you couldn't tell 5 days ago what the good games were the next weekend? Really? Really? Come on. Come on. It's absurd. And the schools have nothing to do with it. As you can tell, the teams have nothing to do with it, even on a professional level. Even on a professional level, they've got to deal with this. I don't blame the Yankees. What the heck? And, you know, you talk about the integrity of the game? Yeah, the integrity of the game does come into play. You're playing three games in a 24-hour span? I mean, are you going to call up pitchers or somebody else to... Yeah, you got people who are dog tired out there. It's just not the way it works. It's not fair to the players. It's not fair to the fans. You're not getting the product that you deserve to be watching out there.
Well, granted, it is a 162 game season, but let's just say early July, that could be the make or break portion of the season that could keep the Yankees from first or second place.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much to ask. Rory McIlroy made a really good statement, which I think goes across all sports. They were asking Rory McIlroy after the Memorial, because he barely made the cut. And then, to his credit, took advantage of the last two rounds, went out there, played pretty well. And he said, look, he said, I want to get the most out of this. I want to be able to practice, play. He said, work some things out on the course. And he did. Right? So someone asked him about, well, you know, do you think this will translate into the U.S. Open? He says, I don't know. He said, can I put together four rounds like this? He said, but, he says, I wish they would stop messing with the integrity of the golf course. And he was talking about the USGA, how they set up the golf course. And this is the quote that comes up that I think fits all sports right now. He says, I swear to you that they think we're better than we are. Think about that. So in other words, we got to set it up so hard because these guys are just that good. Well, they are obviously really, really good. But he's right. I think you have certain entities out there that... Let's go back to the Yankee thing for a moment, because that's what the whole setup is about. That think that the professional baseball players are so good that they don't need any time off, and they can play three games in 24 hours. You're professional baseball players. You should be able to do it. And they don't understand the argument about fairness when it comes to what they're doing, because they think they're making a big assumption that they're better than they are, than they really are. And that's not fair to the ball players. That's not fair. That's not fair to them at all. That, you know, that they don't need rest. They don't need time off. That, you know, that they can play three games in 24 hours. And when TV or an entity takes that attitude, that's not good for the game. It's not good for the sport. That's one thing I'll admit. You look at the NBA Finals, for example. Well, they're playing one day, then they had a couple days off, then they played Sunday. Now they get a couple days off, then they'll play again till Wednesday. Okay, good. All right, you know, it's giving the proper rest. Now let's go back to the final, to the conference finals. Well, what happened in the conference finals? Well, in the conference finals, they're playing every other day. And not only that, but they were both seven-game series. And because they were seven-game series, that meant you had to play game four location, travel day, then play game five, travel day, then play game six, travel day, then play game seven. Okay. I mean, do you know how hard that is? I mean, I only announce the darn things, but I'm telling you right now, I'll hit mid-November up until Christmas time. And I'll finally get a couple days off at Christmas. You know, I think I have, I have 3 days off at Christmas this year?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I mean, do you know how many games I've done in that six-week span?
Quite a bit.
Between football and basketball?
In that last month, right. In that last month, yeah. And a half of the year? Yeah.
Yeah. And then this year, you know, and again, believe me, I'm fortunate for all of them. I'm trying to explain that it can tire you. That's my point. You can get tired. And I'm not running. You know, March we were all over the place. Okay? To Nebraska. From Nebraska then back to State College. From State College to New York City, then three games in New York City, then boom, back home to State College to play a game, then out to Notre Dame to play a game. Come back after the game Saturday night. Monday back out on the road, play at Marquette in Milwaukee on Tuesday, come back, then go back to New York. Okay? Now, fortunate in every way, shape, and form, but it does bring with it a fatigue factor. And these guys are being at, you know, there's going to be some point where I know TV's paying a lot of money. I get it. I mean, I've got that part down. But there has to be some point where entities reclaim, and I thought the Big Ten was going to do this last year, reclaim their TV rights. I mean, that's, you know, and they haven't done it. I mean, is there anybody? I mean, obviously the Yankees are pointing it out, but saying, look, we voted on this doubleheader thing with Baltimore before you knew you wanted to change it. That's the issue. I mean, they voted to do that before they knew they were going to be asked to do this. Look, I know they're pro baseball players and the whole thing, but you know what? There are limits as to what you're asking people to do. I mean, even something, I mean, Thursday Night Football is a good example of that. We don't get good games on Thursday night, even if it's good teams. Why? They're too beaten up from Sunday. But why do we have Thursday Night Football? Give me a C. Give me an A. Give me an S. Give me an H. What does that spell? Cash, which is what Deb told me she wanted for her birthday. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. A good friend, Brendan Quinn from The Athletic, on the John Beilein situation. And he makes it very, very clear that this is not about leveraging more money. Brendan says, hey, look, Beilein's contract has very little to do with this. And the Pistons are still interviewing people. But it's the Pistons that made contact with Beilein. And this is not a ploy by Beilein to get more money. By the way, he still has three more years to go on his contract that pays him $3.37 million per year. The average pay for an NBA coach, first-year NBA coach, is between $3 and $5 million a season. So, I mean, the point is he doesn't need the job to go and do money. And this guy has been coaching pros. I mean, you know, Trey Burke, Nick Stauskas, Caris LeVert, Timmy Hardaway. I mean, he's about to get Mo Wagner into the league. But this is not about leverage. This is and is there now genuine interest on both sides, according to Brendan Quinn? Yes. It's an interesting story. I mean, I admit it completely caught me out of the blue. Completely caught me out of the blue. But Brendan put out a tweet, and the tweet was, one, this isn't about John Beilein leveraging more money. Number two, the Pistons are quite serious about John Beilein. And number three, this could actually happen. Interesting. Very interesting. All right. We'll have... On the show tomorrow, we'll talk about the NBA Finals. Join us will be Reed Forgrave from CBSSports.com.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.